From a very early age, I dreamed of joining the armed forces. Now, I never made it there, you know, due to poor decisions in my past, but, you know, I would find myself living vicariously through some of the movies that I might watch on Netflix. But I always, enjoyed the idea of joining the armed forces. And while I have a deep admiration and respect for, you know, the Army, the Navy, and other elite branches of our United States military, for some reason, I personally was always drawn to the Marines. There's something that's different about the Marines. And if you know anything about the Marines, you would know that you don't just enlist into the Marines, right? You don't just join the Marines. Actually, it doesn't work like that. You don't join the Marines, you become a Marine. You earn the title of a Marine. And if you don't know, the Marines, their culture is built on discipline, resilience, and an unwavering commitment to mission success. And Marines, they're famous for never leaving anybody behind. They take care of each other. They look out for one another. Their mantra, you know what it is? We are like a chain, and we are only as strong as our weakest link. They hold dear to this idea that says, once a Marine, always a Marine. And something that I find most fascinating about the Marines is that within the Marine culture, it is incredibly diverse. And so it don't matter if you Black, it don't matter if you Hispanic, it don't matter if you Asian, it don't matter if you white, it don't matter if you a redneck, if you a hoodlum from the city, the country, the suburb, it don't matter if you a Democrat or Republican, it don't even matter if you a Democrat or Republicrat. None of that matters. See, the Marines, they say we are all green. And I'm not a Marine, but I got to speak with a Marine and I got to learn a little bit about the Marines. And so, you know what their motto is? I find this very interesting. Semper Fi, always faithful. Listen, y'all have no idea how much I love that. Marines are amazing. And in case you don't know, Marines, they never operate on the solo or on the dolo, like some people say. They never operate as individuals. Nah, they move as a unit. Marines, when they go into battle, they win together. Marines are trained to stand their ground, to never give up. They're trained to press forward, to never surrender to the enemy. Marines are built differently. And Marines, they're so amazing to me because, you know, their culture, the discipline, their resilience, the unwavering commitment to mission success is a beautiful, I said, it's a beautiful illustration of what the life of a Jesus follower should look like. Minus the cussing, all right? Like Marines, Jesus followers, they're not mere participants. They're not consumers. They're not self-absorbed, nor are they highly opinionated. Like Marines, Jesus followers are meant to be elite warriors who take orders from the real commander and chief, and his name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Jesus followers ought to walk disciplined in their walk with Jesus, resilient when the enemy attacks, never leaving their brothers and sisters behind, going back for the wounded, never surrendering to sin, unwavering in their commitment to follow Jesus. This concept of Semper Fi, it should be tattooed on our hearts, always faithful. Always faithful to God, always faithful to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Like Marines, Jesus followers, they should always keep their head on a swivel, because whether you know it or not, something that you need to know, whether you are a Jesus follower in the house today or not, is that we are at war. We are at war against a very real enemy whose primary mission is to create division between God and man. And check out his strategy. One of Satan's most effective strategies to create division between God and man is to create division among his people. And if you ask me, it feels like Satan has had some degree of mission success. Just look at the world around you. I mean, the United States of America feels more like the divided states of America. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel when I say words like radical left wing or radical right wing? How do you feel when I say words like Republican or Democrat? How about names like Trump or Kamala or Obama? How about George Soros, Elon Musk? These words and names might be triggering for some of you. Think about it. Just take a moment. Think about it. Have these words, have these names affected your social life? Have they created a divide between you and others? Forget politics. Let's transition a little bit. What about the world of social media? Sometimes, can I keep it real up in here? I see posts from quote-unquote Christians that just leave me scratching my head. Like, what's the point of that post? Posts that are divisive in nature. Posts that create division between friends. And you might be here and you've never created a post in your life. And you might be here that you don't know anything about social media because you like face-to-face combat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know some of y'all are out there. Posts, you know, whether in person or you speaking it out loud, that creates division among family members or friends. I'd be thinking to myself, like, what is the point of that post? What is the purpose of it? Now, I got a question for you. Have you thought about that? When you go to post, when you go to speak your whole mind to somebody else, have you thought about what's the purpose of your words? What's the purpose of your posts? When you show up on the social media scene, do you say whatever you want to say, whenever you want to say it, to whomever you want to say it? Is that you? Or you just like to do that in person? Actually, let me ask the question a little bit differently. How about we say it this way? Do you have a filter for your post? Do you have a filter for your post? Think about it just for a moment. Do your posts draw people in or do they push people away? Do you have a filter for your posts? Do you have a filter for your words? If not, I want to help you out this morning. If you're a Jesus follower in the house today, this is for you. Here's a filter that we can use in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think on these things. Think on such things. Now, when you're ready to post, just think for a moment. Is it true? But don't stop there, because some of y'all feel like y'all write all the time. And you think what you think is true. So you want to post it anyway. So don't try. So couple that with, is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Can we praise God for your posts? When you post, I want to encourage you, or when you meet somebody face to face and you want to tell them your whole mind, I want to encourage you to use the entirety of this list, not just the truth. Anything otherwise has the potential to be divisive. Don't let the enemy have his way. If you let the enemy have his way, make no mistake about it, he will pull us away from following Jesus to fighting among ourselves. And there's a problem with that, y'all. It's a problem because according to Jesus, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. Yes, it's true. that we may not see eye to eye on everything, but just because we don't see eye to eye on everything doesn't mean that we have to be at war with each other. Something that you need to know, whether you are a Jesus follower, or maybe you were invited today and you are not a Jesus follower, something everybody under the sound of my voice needs to hear, whether you are here in person, whether you're at Victory in the City, or you're listening on your way to work, or you know, you're watching right now at home, something that you need to know is that your enemy is not the person on the other side of you. Your enemy is not a political party. Your enemy is not your coworker, is not your business partner, is not your wife, is not your husband, nor is it your sibling. Your enemy is not the person on the other side of you. It's deeper than that, y'all. A man by the name of Paul, he teaches us that for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Your enemy is not the person on the other side of you. You know who your enemy is? Our enemy is division. Yes, disagreement is unavoidable. You know this from marriage. You know this from your home life. You know this from having grown up in the home you grew up in. Disagreement is absolutely unavoidable. This is true at work. This is true in marriage. This is true everywhere. This is true politically. It's true in any organization. It's true in the church. But you see, division is different. Division is a tactic of the enemy, and because we have free will, division is ultimately a choice. And again, we've experienced this in marriage. You've had some disagreements. I know I could raise my hand and say me too to that for sure. But for some of you, for some of us, divorce wasn't and still is not an option. Maybe you've had a whole lot of disagreements, but you know, it's not like this thing is gonna tear you apart. It's not like this thing is gonna rip your family apart. So yeah, disagreement is unavoidable, but division is always a choice. Several years ago, my family and I, we were at a church that was doing, you know, real big things in the city, you know, sort of kind of like here at Victory. And lots of people would come on Sunday mornings, very similar to here. They would serve. And there was this one couple that we got to do life with on Sundays. And, you know, we would watch them serve together. They were dynamic. I mean, super smart, articulate, talented. I mean, they were like the dream team. And one day, out of the blue, the wife disappears. And I'm not sure what life was like for her at home. And, you know, I've been married long enough to know that disagreement is unavoidable. And I'm not judging her, y'all. Hear my heart. I'm not judging her. I'm just saying the fact is that this lady chose to walk away from her husband and from her kids. Can you imagine how devastating that was for the family? How devastated the kids would have been? I'm telling you, division is a choice. Amen. Now, I need you to brace yourself. Brace yourself for a moment, because what I'm about to say next is going to probably be one of the hardest things for some of you to accept. As a preacher man, I generally stay away from politics, all right? But given where we are politically in our nation, I feel like I have to address this because it seems like we're at constant war with each other. So again, what I'm going to say next is going to probably be hard for some of you to accept, and it's okay. It's okay for you to disagree, and it's okay for you to cross your arms and have a bad attitude. It's okay, but I just want you to think about what I'm about to say later. Can you do that? Just think about it later, because what I'm about to say is a breakthrough kind of idea, a breakthrough concept that may very well expand your horizons just a little bit. Are y'all ready for this? Believe it or not, political disagreement is usually fueled by divergent life experiences, not low IQ. What? No, Danny, you're wrong. The reason that she's a Democrat is that she's not very smart. Or the reason that he's a Republican is that he's not very smart. I'm telling you, it's just easier to say to the other party that they just have a low IQ. But listen, when we associate someone's differing views, political views, with low IQ, we associate, you know, when we associate someone's differing political views with a lack of character, right? I'm telling you, a lack of character. You say something like, you know, they're just bad people. They're evil people. You know, you want to know what you do when you do that? You do unto others exactly what you do not want others to do unto you. You size them up and you write them off. And now you see them as the enemy. And correct me if I'm wrong, but none of you want to be treated that way by people that you know or people that you don't know, right? Right. Neither do other people. And here's the thing, mature people, and this is you guys. You guys are the mature crowd. Look around you, all the mature people in the room today. Mature people, curious people don't go there. In fact, I'm going to take it a step further. Jesus' followers, they do not go there. Jesus' followers, you want to know why they don't go there? They don't go there because Jesus didn't go there. Jesus, he did not size you up and write you off, although he could have. God did not stereotype you and cancel you, although he could have. We don't go there, y'all, because Jesus did not go there. And aren't we fortunate that he didn't go there? Because every time we confess the same sin over and over and over again, it's almost as if we're treating God like he don't know what's going on. And we say, God, forgive me. Please forgive me. Oops, I did it again. No, God sees and God knows. And yet in his grace and his mercy, he loves us anyway. I said he loves us despite ourselves. And he's called us to do unto others as he has done for us. That's not always easy, but it's simple because this isn't a suggestion from Jesus. Listen, y'all, it's a mandate from Jesus. If you're not a Christian, if you're here today and you've opted to not choose Jesus, here's the thing. You could go out and criticize all you want. You could go out and attack. I don't encourage it, but if you're going to do you, then go ahead and do you. You get the freedom to do whatever you want to do. Criticize, attack, divide, tear people down. Do what you got to do. But if you claim to be a Jesus follower, you don't have that same option. You don't get to demonize people just because you disagree with them. And if you're in the room today, and if you've experienced a person who calls themselves a Jesus follower, if you've experienced them behave this way, I just want to take a moment to say, I am so sorry. That kind of behavior is unbecoming of a Jesus follower. Jesus made this crystal clear. Love one another, even if you don't agree, especially when you don't agree. And get this, this is not some sentimental, feel-good kind of love. Jesus didn't just feel love. You know what he did? He showed love. His love was active. It was external. It was intentional. So what does Jesus' love look like? Well, take a look at Jesus, because it looks just like him. It sounds like him. It acts like him. And most importantly, it reacts like him. And I'm not just preaching at you. I feel like the Lord is speaking to you and back to me at the same time. Because I could raise my hand and say me too in the fact that I need some help in this area too. The reality is that Jesus calls us to, he asks us to allow our reactions to be like him. And how can you know him unless you spend time with him? His love is gracious. It's kind. His love is patient. It's honest. It's direct. Yeah, it's direct, but it's also compassionate. His love, you know what it does? It leans in rather than pushes away. And here's what I know to be true. You don't have to agree with me to love me. And I don't have to agree with you to love you. I could say that I love you and there's nothing that you can do about that. But Jesus says, he makes it clear, you must love one another. And we're living in a culture that tells us that disagreement means division. That if we're on opposite sides of an issue, we can't be on the same side of people. But Jesus, he says the exact opposite. He says to love one another. Not just when it's easy, not just when it's comfortable, not just when people agree with you. We can disagree politically and love unconditionally. We can think differently and choose unity because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. And I know some of you are pushing back right now. I can feel the tension in the room. Danny, I don't know about all that. I mean, I could love somebody that doesn't like my favorite team, but politically, nah. But Jesus, you know what? He doesn't leave this in the realm of possibility. He doesn't say, well, if you feel like loving, no, it's a command. If you are a Jesus follower, you are required to love one another even when it's hard. And I'm not judging you. Actually, I'm asking you to judge yourself. When people encounter you in person, when people encounter you online through social media, where do you land on this face gauge barometer? Do you got the lemon face? Or do you have the welcoming face? What is their experience when they encounter you? Do they feel pushed away by you, or do they start to lean into you? Do people experience love, or do they feel pushed away? Do they feel pushed away? I remember a time that I had a major disagreement with somebody that was really close to me. That disagreement, it led to an all-out verbal war. I was so mad. I pushed him away. I didn't want nothing to do with this dude. I found myself in a dark place. And I knew that Jesus said to love, but I chose division. I chose division until God helped me to see my need to choose love. Just like division is a choice. Love is a choice too. Love brought us back together and it made our relationship stronger. Jesus said, love one another. And he didn't just say to love one another. Get this. He defined what love looks like. He modeled it. He said, as I. As I, Jesus said, as I have loved you, I set the example. And little did the disciples know that a few days later, he's going to hang on a cross. There goes your example of sacrificial love. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. And think about who he said this to. He said this to his disciples, a group of men who were completely different from each other, tax collectors, fishermen, zealots, all with different perspectives, with different backgrounds, with different personalities, but Jesus did not allow their differences to divide them. Jesus wasn't asking them to love based on comfort or convenience. He was calling them to love like he loved. To love like he loved. And that means that God loves you even when you are wrong. God loves you in spite of the fact that you are wrong about a lot of things, not just about politics or opinions, but you've been wrong about God himself. God loves you anyway, even with your misinformed, experience-based, evolving views. He says, if I could love you like that, can you not do the same for one another? I'm telling you, y'all, our enemy is division. But our weapon is love. Man, what would it look like if we wielded that weapon in this world that is so divisive? And as Jesus followers, here's the thing. We don't get to opt out of this fight, y'all. Nah, we are in this together. This is no man left behind. When the enemy tries to strike division, we fight. We are in this together, no man left behind. When the enemy comes to divide, we fight. But not like the world fight, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't fight with bitterness. We don't fight with hatred. We don't fight with slander. We don't fight with pride. We fight differently, y'all. I choose to not fight with my fists. I have to choose to not fight with my words. And I know it's not always easy. And I know that we may fail. But I'm here to tell you that is not the fight. I don't fight with my opinions. I don't fight with division. I don't fight like that anymore. You want to know how I fight my battles? I've learned to take my mind out of the gutter. I've learned to choose Jesus.
This is how I fight my battles.
And allow him to fight my battles. I'm not gonna fight like the world fights anymore. I'm fighting with Jesus because Jesus, he fights my battles. Hallelujah. I'm not saying don't stand up for your families. I'm saying, why are we at war with each other constantly when we're face to face because of our opinions? Listen, we fight our fight differently. And the world needs to see that we love them. Come on, somebody. This is how I fight my battles. I fight on my knees in prayer. I fight by forgiving when it's undeserved. I fight by choosing hate I fight by choosing love when hate is easier. I fight by standing in unity when division tries to break us. That's how I fight. I fight by declaring God's truth over every single lie. I fight by lifting up my hands and surrender, not to the enemy, but to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Because when I worship, the enemy flees. When I love, strongholds break. When I pray, heaven moves on my behalf. When I stand in unity, the gates of hell cannot prevail. So no, I don't fight like I used to. This is how I fight my battles. Would you rise to your feet with me this morning? If you know this song, will you join us in singing it?
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
Stake. The enemy knows that if he can divide us, he can defeat us. But here's the thing, we're not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his schemes. We don't turn on each other. No, we stand with each other. Marines, they don't fight their own. They fight a real enemy. And as Christians, we do the same. We fight for unity. We fight for love. We fight for the kingdom. And we don't fight the way the world fights. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, somebody.
This is how I fight my battles.
Worship is our weapon. Love is our weapon. And we can trust in the Lord to fight our battles. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. All we need to do is run into his embrace. And he calls us to love as he has loved. From this place, from this posture, from this position. This is how we fight our battles. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word that brings life to our bones. We thank you for the word love that you showed by example and not just with your words. You led by example and you set a model for us to follow. And I'm asking you, Lord God, that as we prepare to leave this place, but never from your presence, that you would guide us into all truth and that you would give us the capacity to love when it's not easy to love, Lord God. And I pray where we have fallen in this area, that by your grace and your mercy, you would pick us back up and give us the strength, empower us by your Holy Spirit to keep pressing forward with love. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen and amen.